I entitled my message today, It's a Hard Thing. And it is a hard thing because all of us, our hearts at the center of our being, both physically and spiritually. But sometimes obstructions of the heart creep in. Now, obstructions of the heart might sound something like something out of the medical manual. Yet, removing obstructions of the heart was an important part of getting ready for Jesus' arrival on the scene at the beginning of and the appearance as Messiah and Lord. Isaiah said it, Malachi said it, now John the Baptist is saying it. There's a metaphor there that comes from road building. Prepare a way, remove obstacles. The forging or building of roads. If you've ever been in Europe, you'll notice there's a lot of roads in Europe that have been there for thousands and thousands of years. The Romans especially built a lot of them. And you think, well, we got road graders and excavators and all that stuff. We can build a road pretty easy. But they built those roads without any kind of modern equipment. But there was obstructions in where they wanted to build them, so they had to take them out. In order to make that road possible, they had to clear rocks, debris, smooth it, level it, and make sure that nothing could trip you up, either where you were walking along the way, or maybe a horse or donkey or something like that. They had to make sure all the stuff was out of the way because you didn't want to get tripped up. This was not a one thing time, especially for early roads, because windstorms, rain like we have today, water could tear up a road and make gullies and ruts in it, making it very difficult to travel. How many of us have encountered potholes? I hit one yesterday traveling on good road. Imagine how much more challenging it was then to keep these roads clear and free of debris. It was especially important to make sure these roads were clean and a stone-free atmosphere, especially when a celebrity would come to town. You know, like a king or a governor or somebody important or other officials of the cities, you needed to make sure that the roads were clear. It was a sign of honor to prepare the way and take in obstructions out of the way so that the honorable person that was coming would be able to move around. Isaiah, Malachi, John the Baptist may not have understood the ins and outs of heart surgery, but they did understand roads. And the metaphor of road cleaning helped them to explain to the people what it meant to have a heart cleared. So John the Baptist came into his own ministry with the baptism of repentance. For John, this is what repentance means. A clearing of one's heart, a path to God, taking and removing all sin and all debris that may be encumbering one's relationship with the living God. More than once, Jesus referred to blockages in our path as a scandalum, a stone that could kind of trip you up. And anything that you allow to block or impede or fester on your trip, challenging you to be able to not have a straight path to God was scandalum. Wonder about English and different languages. You know where we get that word scandalous? Comes from that word, scandalum. The very stone. So repentance was a way of clearing our hearts for natural things, clearing our hearts so the blood flow and everything was just good. And that your mind and heart could be focused on God Almighty without any distraction, without any impedance. Baptism, then, for John the Baptist was a clearing path, a sanctification, if you would. Sanctification is like as if you have never sinned. You become sanctified, in which sins and hesitations and impedance and other forms of resistance were removed, and the path for intimacy with a holy and loving God would be pure, and a love relationship Because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the living God through Christ. So John changes the way people looked at water. No longer was it simply a purification process like the Jewish mikvahs. It was important, though, for traditional and ritual cleaning, and baptism was an actual heart and a mind change, a transformational cleansing of renewal, preparation for something, for a significant life change. Remember your baptism? So John is clear that he is helping people prepare a way to God. He was also clear that baptism is not the end of the story. While water may wash away silt and dirt and other things, it won't wash away your sin, but it will prepare you for an encounter with God that truly transforms. So the ritual is itself is a preparation, something much bigger than John could possibly provide. The Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, will baptize by the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire that will animate and infuse and energize you as missional people, as a disciple of the King, and a new way of kingdom life. We talked a lot about 17 weeks in the Holy Spirit school, so we're well aware of what the Holy Spirit is and who He is and what He can do, because Jesus is not here with us in the physical sense, but He is sure here in the spiritual sense. So Advent is a perfect time to remember your baptism. I haven't done it for a while, but sometimes during service I would take water from the baptismal thing and walk through the sanctuary and just put my fingers in it and sprinkle it and just simply say, remember your baptism and be holy. We need to remember our baptism. Whether you were baptized as a child and then renewed your vows as an adult with a confirmation ritual, or whether you were baptized fully in immersion as an adult, your baptism is not an end in itself. It's only a starting step in the process of your relationship as a Christ follower, a disciple, if you would. Guess what? You're not done. In fact, even after baptism, you must take on the responsibility in your life to continue the process of heart cleansing and heart clearing. Repentance is not a once and done thing. I repent probably, I don't know, 1,000 times a day if that's possible, because every time that I realize that I'm in a mess or I do something wrong, I just stop and say, Lord, forgive me. Holy Spirit, give me some guidance. I need to get back on the right track. So in your prayer time and worship and the setting that we're in today needs to be genuine. Your worship is genuine, or you wouldn't have got through this rain and the weather to get here, because your heart was ready to honor God. You're ready to receive a touch from the Holy Spirit. Your heart is open to God's love and others. Or maybe we're just carrying sometimes impedance within our mind, our spirit, that sometimes cause us shame and guilt and pain and distract you from living as a disciple. And Jesus is calling us to repent. Don't let those things distract you, especially in this particular time of the year. You know, it's a very stressful time out there for a lot of people. Not everybody is happy at Christmas time. There's a lot of things that creep into our life that distract you from the whole purpose of this holy season. So Advent, really, above all, is a time of repentance. It's a cause of a time to clear your mind and heart of the busyness of the season, of the arguments with family and friends. And I don't know about you, but it happens in my house. Grudges long held, bad habits that keep you from making time with God in your life, because it is a personal thing, this relationship with God. He's concerned about your personal life. So we had so many life encounters that can distract us from our relationship with Christ. So it's time during this particular season, but every waking moment of your day, it's time for us to clear our path, to listen to John's call and to make way a clear path for God to touch our heart and our lives in meaningful and life-changing ways. For the season of Christmas, it's all about transformation. Advent is a way of making sure that we're ready for it. So we know that Christ was born. We have history on our side, many witnesses, so we celebrate the time leading up to Christ's birth. But we are in a constant state of Advent until the Lord returns. He promised to come again. He said, watch, I'm coming soon. So we are in a state of Advent, celebrating something yet that's about to come, that's going to be beneficial for us. It's going to be a joy. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And if he comes for us first and we don't experience physical death, that's pretty cool. But if we do experience physical death, he has also said he prepared a place for us. And we go to be with him. He said, wherever I am, you are there also. So a lot of wonderful things this season of Advent. So I challenge all of us to remember our baptism. And if you were young, to remember your moment of confirmation of that baptism. Or perhaps in your life, you have many times and other significant times of your life when you have consciously taken Jesus as Lord and Savior. The scripture says that we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. That's what we'd be saved from. So remember that feeling of joy and warmth as you receive Christ this season in your heart. Or maybe even answering God's call on your life. So remember the acknowledgement of God's presence when your cares and trouble, they just sort of seem melting away. And Lord, I can't handle this and I can't handle that and I don't know what to do. You said that you would take it away. I got a son that hadn't talked to me in 7-8 years. And you know, I don't carry that desire of wondering about it anymore. I gave him to the Lord. So I don't even think about it anymore because I know the Lord will take care of it. But the devil likes to kind of creep in and play tricks on your mind because he cannot read your mind. Only God knows your mind and knows your heart. But the devil will play tricks. And sometimes a little thing will go, ooh, well, you know, you better check one book, you know, you don't know. I say, Lord, I give this to you. Get me behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. And I like that at the end of Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted and was finally over and the devil was going to leave him. But he turned to Jesus and he said, but I'll be back. He is the God of this world and he will haunt you to death. Don't let him. Give it to the Lord. Oh, that's not real easy. Yeah, it is. Just do it and forget about it. Because Jesus said your sins have been forgiven. They are in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. He lets us go and use that mess for his glory to witness to somebody. And then guess what? Boop, goes back into the deepest of the sea. So I said all that to say this. Whatever your experience about your relationship with God, remember it now. Pray for Jesus to help you to remove all sins and all impediments from your life. Not just sins that maybe you and I have committed, but put those maybe guilt that other people put upon you. Give it to the Lord. The burdens, your cares, your worries, just get it out of your heart and say, Lord, take this away from me. Remember what Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. He'll do the same thing with your sins and your mind and all the crap that kind of creeps in. Just say, Lord, I need you to take it. Fill me, fill with your love and grace. So, during this holiday season, filled with guilt about something, God will clear it. Maybe you're in mourning. Donnie lost a loved one this past year. Other people have lost loved ones and we're in mourning. God will give you the ease to get through it. Tired? I don't know about you, but I get tired sometimes. God will rejuvenate you. If you're distracted, God will focus on you. Allow you to focus. Open your heart, your mind, your spirit, and live life for God. And you will never be the same in Jesus' name. I assure you. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. This is the promise of John. And this is the gift of Christ.